Hey everybody, guess what? This week our episode is brought to you by Decibel Wines. Dan was our guest last week, Decibel Dan, decibelwines.com. He is from the Philly area, and he moved to New Zealand, started up his own vineyard. He's rocking it out there. We had his wines a couple weeks ago here. We were chugging it down. It's delicious. Make sure you go to decibelwines.com if you're in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York, the Carolinas, Alabama, California. You can actually find it in your liquor store. Easiest way to find it, though, go to decibelwines.com. Find out where it is, email them, do whatever you need to do. This wine is phenomenal. Great sponsor of the show. We're proud to have him on board. We will make sure the audio sounds better when he's on next time, which will be in about a month or so. So again, go to decibelwines.com. Proud sponsor of our show. One little note about this week. We are, even though I'm recording through the mixer right now, we are going to be doing it over the phone because we had a little snafu. Shelton's got some wedding stuff going on. It's taking yada yada because he's got stuff to do. He's an important person. Plus, he's trying to figure out why he didn't get the spot to be the Daily Show correspondent or the news desk host. I thought he was taking Jon Stewart's spot, but apparently he's just not anti-Semitic enough. Anyway, we're going to start the show. On the other side, we have a big... Jay Oakerson. Well, not on the other side. On the other side, we're going to have me and Shelton for a minute or two. Then we're going to have big Jay Oakerson, one of the funniest people alive. He's at Helium Comedy Club next weekend. The dates are... How bad are you falling asleep right now on me? April 9th, 10th, and 11th. One show Thursday, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. That is at Helium Comedy Club in Philadelphia. By God, Pennsylvania. Heliumcomedy.com, click on the Philadelphia link. It's next weekend's show. They got a great show this weekend with Deion Cole, but Big Jay Oakerson's going to be there next weekend, and he is our man who is calling in. We're so happy to have him, and we can't wait for you to finally enjoy the show after I'm done rambling.
Hey guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? Alright, well, see you later.
And hey, welcome back to the Comedy Food Sports Podcast. We have a very special guest on the line.
Let me introduce literally my favorite comedian alive right now, Bill Burr. How are you, Bill?
Hey, what's going on?
The one and only Rich Eisen.
Sports is a lot safer than Christian Mingle.
Well, I wouldn't know about that. I'm a Jew.
Without further ado, the one and only best-selling author, popular radio show host, Jim Norton.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. What a rookie I am. You're listing things, I just interrupt.
You know, I'm from The Man Show and Loveline. The godfather of podcasts himself, Adam Carolla.
Thanks for having me.
Very, very special guest. Used to be from Opie and Anthony, now from the Anthony Cumia Show. Anthony Cumia.
Look at that, what an intro. Jesus.
Smooth as silk.
I thought I'd be on hold for the next segment while you talk to this wonderful person.
I was checking the specs on the end line for the rotary girder. I'm retarded.
And welcome to episode 78, Bruce Smith, of the Comedy Food Sports Podcast. Solid number, one of my favorites. If you ever want to hack into my passcodes, you're going to get 78 every once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, with 78.
Yeah, I was just always, like, even though I grew up hating the Bills, I was always... I always felt like Bruce Smith was way underappreciated when it came down to it.
Yeah, it's because he played there. I mean, if he played in Dallas, they would have listed him as one of the greatest ever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I always said, like, Thurman could run circles around friggin' Emmitt Smith, but just on the wrong team.
Yep.
All right, so we're back. We got Decibel Wine sponsoring us again. I gave that big, long speech in the intro, so I won't go too much further into it. It's harvest season, though. They got some great stuff going on right now. Delicious wine. So go to decibelwines.com. Or if you're in Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, the Carolinas, Alabama, and California. The Alabama one I need to figure out, but we'll move on from here. But you can find those.
They're wine, that's why.
Find them in the liquor store. Yeah, but it's like actual like wine. It's not, you know, it's not from a box.
Oh, man. If it's fancy.
Lost our Alabama listener. listener.
The two.
Yeah. Somebody's talking about us on the box.
On the funny box. They got not nice things to say.
What do you mean it's on your phone? I don't understand. How do you... I thought you just...
Worst part is I was actually born there, so...
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It's terrible.
That's the military for you. My niece was technically born there. A very short period of time. And my brother was stationed there. So, yeah, we're back. We had a lot to talk about. We got Big J Okerson this week, who is friggin' amazing. He's going to be at Helium Comedy Club next weekend, which I did this in the intro. I forgot what dates were. 9th, 10th, and 11th of April. Thursday, one show. Two shows Friday. Two shows Saturday. Really, really funny guy. Like top 10, top 15 type comedians that do comedy clubs. I mean, just a phenomenally hilarious guy, and he'll get in crowd work immediately, and in a good way. He won't like piss me. Yeah. He's not mean about it. He's just really funny about it. If you want to know more about him, go check out his story on this. This is happening right now, or something like that. Ari Shaffir's show on Comedy Central. It's freaking great. The storytelling one. He tells a story about watching his neighbor bang some girl, and then this dog gets involved, and it's freaking hilarious. And it's obviously true. There's nothing about it where you're like, oh, no, that's totally made up. So, yeah, we got a lot to talk about. We're going to take a break, though, real quick. We're going to have Big J on on next just to get all the people that are listening. We're going to have him on first, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk about Trevor Noah. We're going to talk about football. We're going to talk about March Madness. We're going to talk about mullets, Vince Neil butchering a friggin' national anthem somewhere, Patton Oswalt sticking up for Trevor Noah, as everybody should.
Yeah.
And Indiana, of course. We're just going to talk lots about Indiana. And gay people not being able to get pizza delivered to their wedding, because that's probably a normal thing that gay people do, right? They get pizza delivered to their wedding.
Usually what they do. I mean, every gay wedding I've been to, they have gay pizza.
And they go for the small mom-and-pop shop that's, like, hardcore Christian. I mean, that's the first place they go to for
that. One that really push themselves as Christian. I have to get those.
Yeah, the one that literally had before today, had 2 Yelp reviews. Now they have, now they have 1 million because people are lighting them up with, like, all kinds of, like, the special is toppings of hatred and bigotry.
They're going to get business off of this anyway.
Oh, yeah, the Christians will come flying in.
And in Ohio, that's not going to be hard.
Yeah, Indiana, same thing. Yeah, no difference.
Indiana. Same place.
Shitty sports teams, rednecks that live in the north. You know, the usual. Yeah, same thing.
It's all the same.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break. We're going to have Big J on the other side. We're going to talk about all those topics. And we'll probably make it a short one this week. I'm going to play a couple clips. Got a funny clip of... Yeah, there you go. This time? So we're going to play a clip of Seth Meyers did a funny bit on Indiana, and then we're going to play a little bit of Trevor Noah's stand-up act, so people that don't know who he is and who we're talking about will soon later. I love how quickly people freaking jumped on his throat. But anyway, we'll see on the other side. Jay Oakerson's up next at Big J Oakerson. I'm not sure. I'll have to check all that stuff out. But go to heliumcomedy.com, click on the Philadelphia link. Check out his show. It's next weekend, April 9th, 10th, 11th. Going to be phenomenal. I mean, he really is I'd go way out of my way to see him. It won't be because I'm going to be at somebody's wedding, but that's another subject that we'll talk about on the way back. So we'll see you on the other side. Welcome back to the Comedy Food Sports Podcast. Very special guest on the line. One of my favorite comedians in the world. You hear him a lot on Ron and Fez right now. He's been doing it for a long time and been killing it forever. He's hilarious on Z-Rock. I remember he had a small part in the first season of Louie. Just a really, really funny dude, and excited to see that he's coming to Helium next weekend. We'll get the dates for him in a second. I believe it's April 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th. But without further ado, the one and only Big J Okerson. How are you, man?
How are you, Patrick?
Good, good. Can't complain. Can't complain. So, obviously, I'm a huge fan of your comedy, but for those who don't know, how would you kind of describe your style? This is a horrible question, but how would you describe your style from a, you know, a standpoint of people from Philly? What would they, how would they?
I'd say it's approachable, lovable filth.
Beautiful, beautiful. It sounds like Philly. I mean, that, like, if you defined it. Now, you're technically from here, right?
Yes, yes, indeed. West Philadelphia, Overbrook Park area.
Nice, nice. Very.
My grandma still lives there.
Oh, there.
And I think every black person in Philadelphia.
That's awesome. When did you move up to New York?
I moved to New York probably, I guess 13 years ago now. It's crazy. That seems too long. Yeah, about 13 or 14, actually, I guess 14 years ago now I moved up here. It was, I did comedy for 2 years in Philadelphia, and then kind of saw the ceiling there, and then Keith Robinson brought me and Kevin Hart and Kurt Metzger off at the same time to New York. And, Kurt moved first, Kev went to L.A., and then I came up kind of, I was kind of dragging ass behind everybody else, but I moved up there, yeah.
Very cool.
About 13 years ago now.
Yeah, there's three really funny people to be involved with for sure. That's awesome. So
all very different in their own way.
Oh yeah, God yeah. Yeah.
You heard it here first. Kevin Hart stole all of my comedy.
Oh, of course, of course. It makes perfect sense. Yeah. He's doing the football field here in the summer, by the way, like the where the Eagles play, the Link, which is hilarious.
You don't tell me. Yeah, no, I know. He's playing the Lincoln Financial. I think he's doing a special at Dallas Cowboys Stadium.
It's hilarious. I didn't even know that was possible. Great. For a comedian to do that.
A football stadium.
I know. It's I can't even fathom it. Cool. So tell us kind of about what your first. I want to hear about your podcast because I'm a big fan. I know we follow each other on Twitter, but how did it get started? Who's involved? And you know, kind of what's it about?
I did two podcasts now. They're both doing pretty well. The SDR show is what I do with a guy named Ralph Sutton, who has got a long history in rock radio and DJing.
Okay.
And me and him, every week, we interview a mixed-up cast of porn stars and rock stars. So we've had all kinds of bands. We've gone on these rock cruise ships together. So we've interviewed just all kinds of cool people and hilarious porn stars and what have you. And that's called the SDR show.
Okay.
That's on the All Things Comedy Network. And then the podcast you're talking about is the Legion of Skanks that I do on Cave Comedy Radio. It's on iTunes also. Legion of Skanks is me, my Canadian friends, Louis J. Gomez and Dave Smith. And every week we just, it's a party, man. We go to the Creek in the Cave in Long Island City. It's open. It's live. We have an audience behind us. It's a live video stream. It comes every week, and it's just us and, you know, our comedian friends or whoever it may be, kind of just floating around, just come in, and everyone's smoking and drinking and just talking shit and usually just, you know, recollecting their grossest, weirdest stories.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I love it.
Very free form, and the audience is there, which fuels it. And
nice.
Some weeks there's controversy. Some weeks everyone just has a great time. You never know.
Very cool. Good deal. Cool. And how'd you, I'm sure it was just from basically like doing stand-up and stuff like that, but was there anything that got you to Ron and Fez? Anything specific? Because I know you're on there a lot now.
Yeah, well, you know, now it might be ending. Who knows?
Yeah.
A cliffhanger, I guess. What's happening? It's all very confusing what's happening over there. But it's, it was, I was a fan for the longest time. In fact, Ron and Fez, you know, not to write a love letter to them online here, but it's, It really is. When Kevin Hart and Keith Robinson and Kurt, we would drive back and forth from Philly every day to New York. We started doing that before I moved up there.
Okay.
We would just drive up to New York about 6 nights a week, honestly. And we had a deal that whoever drove didn't have to pay for anything. You didn't have to pay for gas or tolls or anything. Everybody else would pay for that.
Nice.
So I was the brokest of everybody always at that point. And so I was like, I'll drive, and everybody else will pay. So when you drive and you're going home, and it's 3 a.m. and we're just leaving New York, you know, by 3:30 everyone's asleep in the car, and we're driving till 5.
Of course.
So when everyone would go to sleep, they used to play the replays of Ron Fez on 102 WNEW.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah.
In New York, so for like 45 minutes to an hour of the drive, I would just listen to Ron and Fez. They just made me laugh. I just thought the show was so funny, you know. And I always grew up like a Howard Stern fan, and I still am very much a Howard Stern fan. But you know, I knew everybody on Opie and Anthony, and then I would. But then they'd play this replay at night, and I was so tickled. I thought it was so funny. And then I started listening like live in the afternoons when I moved to New York. And then very quickly they went to D.C. Like a lot of deals went south, and the Opie Anthony thing fell apart.
Yeah.
And they were off the air for a while, and I just kind of lost touch with it. And then it started when I got a car a few years ago. It had SiriusXM in it. And I started listening like all over again. I just remember how funny that show was and how good of a vibe and a radio show that was. It just like it caught me again. And then a couple years ago, like my girlfriend suggested that I should, like, why don't you try to go on it? You know enough people over at Sirius and you should give it a shot, you know, if it's a show you like. And I just put the feelers out there and I got on the show, and it's so weird. The first time I went on that show, it felt very like I'd been doing it for years. Like I just knew the rhythm of that show, and I vibe very well with Ron, who's just like a radio genius. I think he's amazing at what he does.
Yeah, he's the best.
Stanley and Fez, and the whole thing just works great. The very set. Hopefully something's happening here, but maybe this is a work in some way. But it seems like it's very real. But I'd be very sad to see that show go for selfish reasons of just being a fan.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Ron's the best interviewer I've ever heard. Period. Like on any medium for that matter. So yeah, I definitely hope they're still around for sure. Cool. So I'm just curious a couple things. Well, one thing was, how did you open up for Korn? Am I right about that? Or did I just hear that?
Yeah, I've done a couple bands, but Korn was the one I did the most. I did two tours back-to-back with Korn, so about 3 months on the road.
That's crazy. That's like a throwback to, like, you know, the comedians in the 70s who would open up for, like, you know, I'm going to friggin' forget who, like, Diana Ross and people like that. I'm trying to think of who the comedians, like George Wallace.
Sure,
and people
no, yeah,
like that.
Patti LaBelle had, it was a throwback to that, except it's Korn.
I know, that's the best part. That's hilarious. So,
instead of being, like, a group of people who came out in suits and dresses to watch a nice, you know, jazz or R&B performance, it's, you know, a Chinese kid with green hair wearing wearing elbow gloves. Oh, geez.
That's hilarious. That's stupid.
But it was fun. It was some of the greatest experiences of my life took place in that thing. I mean, just the chance to have to be able to do something like that. And first of all, I'm a big fan of Korn.
Mm-hmm.
And the bands I went, you know, I went on tour with Korn, Rob Zombie, Slipknot, Slayer. I was on tour with.
Nice.
And now doing these, and I do these rock, these heavy metal cruises once a year.
Yeah.
I guess twice a year now, because it's a Motorhead cruise.
Oh, yeah.
I go on those too. It's these two chances to still kind of be involved in that world, because going out on tour with a band doesn't, you know, at this point I'm touring myself enough.
Yeah, yeah.
But the experience of just going and doing that, just having that kind of access, you know, especially with bands I'm a fan of, you know, it's like I can smoke a joint and then I can go stand on the side of the stage and watch Rob Zombie perform. It's something else, you know. It's really super fun. Yeah, I had a manager for like, he was only my manager for like 6 months, but that's what he got me in. He got me involved in like these two tours, and I always thank him for that, man. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, no, that's great. I was actually thinking about it because, like, you know, I did stand up for a while, so I kind of got into having some contacts in the comedy world and all that good stuff.
Right.
But like the access to, you know, to like popular musicians is like such a different level, rather than, you know, we had Bill Burr on this podcast. I didn't meet him or anything like that, but like he just called me. Where if level of a musician, it would take me like 5 years just to crack that code, you know. So it's
really amazing when you get that. You know, and I said, like, I'm doing they just announced it, I think, so I think it's okay. I'm doing Bonnaroo this year, so, you know, when I'm done, you know, I'll tell 20 minutes of dick jokes, and then I get to go watch Kendrick Lamar and Billy Joel and all these, you know.
Yeah.
The War on Drugs, all these cool bands that I want to see. And it's like, you know, we can go right up, you know. Maybe I don't know if everything's side stage, you know, but it's, we
could definitely get good access to wherever you want to go.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. Very cool. Before I forget, let's plug your shows, too. So you're coming here on the 9th, 10th, 11th, and then are you doing Sunday, too?
No Sunday. It'll be 9th, 10th, and 11th, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, cool. So one show Thursday, two Friday, two Saturday,
yeah.
Cool, and it's Helium Comp.
Yeah, I want to fill these things up here. I love it. It's a homecoming, you know. I do no carbs, no sugar during the week now, 6 days, but I'm saving up 2 cheat days so I can go big in Philly.
Yeah, have a little alone time with a cheesesteak or something. Right?
No, absolutely. Cheesesteak, some Wawa. That's how everybody knows I'm white trash, is because when I get cheat day excited for Wawa.
They're pretty good, though.
Really get they say it's a 7-Eleven with sandwiches, but then I just smack whoever says that. I won't take that. And I'm not a violent man.
It's too funny. So, again, heliumcomedy.com. Click on the Philadelphia link next weekend, 9th, 10th, 11th. Going to be great shows. Make sure you check them out. Are you doing Preston and Steve, by the way? Or?
I hope so. We're trying to work it out now. They're on vacation this week, so we won't find out, I guess, until Monday. But I believe if I am, hopefully Friday it's going to happen.
Cool. Good deal. All right, well, we'll put everything up on the website. I'll tweet it out to you. It'll probably be up in a couple hours, I'm guessing.
Cool, man. I hope to see you out there, too.
Yeah, I'm actually going to try. I tell this to a lot of comedians I talk to, but I think legitimately I can actually make it out to one of the shows. Usually it's like,
very nice, man.
Usually, like, yeah, I'll see you out there, and I have no chance of going, but I think I actually have a shot next weekend. So.
Very nice, man. Well, please do.
All right, man. And like I said, I'll tweet this out as soon as it's up, and I appreciate you calling in, man.
Sounds good, bro. Talk to you soon.
All right, take care, Jay. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong. If it hurts, I wanna have control. I want a perfect body. I want a perfect soul. I want you to notice when I'm not around. And welcome back to the Comedy Food Sports Podcast, episode 78. There can't be anybody besides Bruce, right? That's pretty much it.
I don't know anyone else.
Yeah, he locked down that number. It was kind of like 77 with Ray Bourque. He can give Paul Coffey that, but still, it's Ray Bourque's.
Or it might just be the more you get up there in numbers, the less you have.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, there's only one Gretzky, right? Or who else was there? Dan Hampton, too.
Yeah.
There's a pull from the 85-86 Bears defensive line. The only white guy on the defense, I think, at the time.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah. Anyway. So we're back. Thanks for Big J being on the show. He's phenomenal. Really funny dude. I technically haven't recorded it yet, so I have a feeling he's going to bust my balls a bunch, which would be great. He's a super funny guy. Again, next weekend, April 9th, 10th, and 11th at Philadelphia's Helium Comedy Club. Go to heliumcomedy.com, click on the Philadelphia link, buy some tickets. He's friggin' amazing. I'm telling you, if you want to see a show that will not be like the next show, if you bought 5 tickets and watched every single one of his shows, you would not see a repeat show. He's that much, does that much great stuff off the cuff, and he's got so much great material. He really is an elite-level type guy. If you listen to Ron and Fez, all too well about his hilariousness. I got to check to make sure we're still recording, so give me some filler here. Talk about the wedding.
Okay. It's all filler, yeah.
Yeah.
We're,
that was enough. We're cut off. No need to put our people to sleep. I already put them to sleep in my intro. I was trying to do my intro, and I just ended up like dragging it out. It was like I layered it with a song underneath, and I almost like finished the song. That's how long the intro was. By the time we come back from break, it's like 3 minutes and 30 seconds from the beginning. So we got. Tell me about the Des Bryant thing. Or is that pretty much the end of it?
The Landry Hat is the website. It's thelandryhat.com, and they threw up a Des Bryant signed by the Eagles for $10 million a season. And the Cowboys give up two first-round picks. And, of course, you know, you have the people who are all over the bottom of it going crazy. And they even put up a fake tweet that says, "Told them not to test my loyalty. They're lost. Now I'm an Eagle." And
that's awesome.
Yeah. So you have people going crazy at first, but now they're starting to realize that they're fools. But yeah, it's and they're like they even do a full on article like comparing what the Eagles are paying him to what Calvin Johnson gets and everything else. So they're
oh my god, that's awesome. I'm sure there are all kinds of racial epithets thrown out there.
I'm sure.
James,
want him anyway.
James Heskey had a great post on Twitter about when they signed DeMarco Murray. They said that he said the only negative thing about the signing of DeMarco Murray is now everybody from Philadelphia has to go back in their Twitter timeline and take out all the racial epithets and homophobic comments they made about him.
I'm so surprised they didn't pick up what's his name, Peyton Hillis, you know, so they could have all white backfield.
I thought they were gonna.
I figured they would, you know, Chip Kelly. He's like, you know what? I want the whitest team in the NFL more.
I know. Riley Cooper, man. That's the one where I'm like, what?
Yeah, that's the thing that kills his argument on there is like, especially how, like, you know, DeSean Jackson's not a guy for him, and Michael Vick's not, but you got Riley Cooper on there? Really?
Yeah. Well, and the thing was, is it was like, okay, we'll give you DeSean. Like, that was kind of whatever. Yeah. But then it was like, wait.
Macklin?
Then, like, LeSean McCoy and Macklin. You're like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Neither one of the dudes ever did anything.
Yeah, and, like, you're literally signing DeMarco. Yes, you saved money this year, technically. But like, that's it. Like, the combined total of Sproles, Matthews, and Murray for this year saves them like $400,000. Literally. I'm not even exaggerating when I say that.
Yeah.
But then like the next
far like
the upcoming years they're not making out, you know.
He traded basically, you know, a fastback for a power back who has already been injured, you know, numerous times in numerous seasons. So it's gonna be a mess for them, I think. Plus they have no receivers right now. I mean, I know Jordan Matthews had a decent season, but
he's not a number one. He's just too young.
He's not one. He's definitely not one. Yeah, like, and I wouldn't say that. I mean, he's a two. He's a solid two, but he's not a one. And then you have no real slot receiver. So you got two twos in Riley Cooper and him.
Yeah.
And you got
If only they had like a really fast 5'10" skinny guy to like,
yeah,
you know, run deep routes and return kicks with time running off the clock. But not a culture fit. Can he block on the outside when you're running the read option? Riley Cooper can, DeSean can't. I'm just saying, that's pure logic right there.
Yeah, exactly. And the other part about it is they have no blocking tight end for a back like Murray, so I don't know what they're going to do there.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. They got all kinds of problems. And they're not going to draft any. They're not going to draft a wide receiver because they need so much help on defense.
Anyway. Yeah, they need too much defense. Yeah. I mean, they literally could go the first four rounds without drafting an offensive player.
I really hope they trade the house for Mariota. Like, I really hope they do.
That would be the best thing ever.
I would be so happy.
And not only that, I hope they trade the house and then, like, Chip Kelly gets fired. And then when he does, he just puts on a cowboy hat and walks out. Like,
Yeah, exactly.
Never been an Eagles fan anyway. Just walks out.
Yeah, exactly. Him and Chris Christie walk out with their Cowboys gear on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought for sure he would be a quick one and done Chip.
Yeah, I thought so.
I thought he would be the next coach of Texas when it came down to it.
Yeah, I was going to say Texas or depending on who goes to Florida this year, they might have 2 years too as a stopgap.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, if you're Chip Kelly, you're not going to pass up Texas or Florida as your recruiting ground.
No, because you got that. I mean, that's like a lifetime job. I always never understand why college coaches go to the NFL.
No, it makes no sense. Like, they keep talking about Calipari might jump from Kentucky. For what? He sucked when he was with the Nets.
Yeah.
Why would I leave? I got a semi-pro team already. I'm close to winning 40 games in one season. I can go two platoon and beat any team in America.
Yeah.
No way I'm leaving that. And on top of that, everywhere I walk around, I'm a god. The dude hasn't probably paid for food in like the last 7 months.
But he's in the most obsessed, you know, like if there's any place that's obsessed with college basketball, it's like not even a close call. Like Duke is probably second to that. But I mean, like, there's nothing going on in Lexington, Kentucky.
No, there's nothing. And then on top of that, you have, see, Duke has the, it's an intellectual school. So they don't have those, just the locals who support the school because it's the name Kentucky. You know what I mean? Like, it's the University of Kentucky, so they have the people in Kentucky who don't even go to school. So supporting them. Duke has some people like that, but it's not as prevalent as Kentucky would be.
Duke also has, like, first off, you have UNC and NC State all, like, in the same town, and they also have a phenomenal lacrosse team, the women's hoops, you know, they have all kinds of other stuff. Anyway, we're going down a path. So who you got in the final, who you got winning these games than winning it all?
I got nothing at this point. Actually, I'm hoping for a Big Ten team to win it all just so it validates Maryland in second place. Because everyone was like, oh, the Big Ten was down this year, but now you got two of the last four teams are from the Big Ten, so I don't know how it's down.
It's top-heavy. Let's call it what it is.
In all honesty, Michigan State just got hot at the right time.
Right, yeah.
But Maryland and Wisconsin were probably the two best teams.
Yep.
And we got manhandled by WVU.
I know, dude. Come on. You can't lose to Bob.
Because they were attacking everybody, dude.
Bob Huggins' coach team. You can't lose to them. God.
Oh, did you see his classy daughter, what she put up?
No, what happened?
Oh, wow. She,
I'm officially Googling it right now.
Yeah, she tweeted that Maryland fans can boo whoever the player was who airballed. And they're like, but you cheer for a rapist in Des Wells. Real classy or something like that. And then she brought it up again, like... And it's like, really? Your dad was an alcoholic who got a DUI.
Yeah, and he, like, completely recruited illegally, by the way, several times.
Yeah, and tried to get it, like, he's like, you're not going to arrest me. Yeah, well, no, you're not above the law there.
If you're religious enough to wear a yam at a sporting event, you should be concerned about the rapist on your team.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually wanted to go high-fiver for that one, to be honest with you. That's pretty solid.
Like, I don't know if you ever read the story about what happened with him.
No.
It was he was at Xavier, and he was accused of raping some girl or whatever else, but they figured out that it was like a game of truth or dare that got out of hand. Yeah. He actually sued Xavier and got money for it, like a cash settlement. They won't say how much.
Yeah.
Then he was released from his scholarship from Xavier and went to Maryland, and the attorney general had to give him a public apology and, like, recommend him to Maryland.
That's awesome.
So some shit had to have gone down. You know, like, I don't know what exactly it is, because I never really gotten the whole details of it, but I saw the gist of it a couple years ago. Because I was always wondering why he would, because, I mean, he was all first team whatever there, the first year he was there, and then he fell off, you know, and went to Maryland, so.
By the way, on that same subject, did you hear about the Taylor from Alabama? He's
the running back?
No, I think he's a big lineman. He was the one that was kicked out of Georgia for allegedly hitting a girl. And then
he was kicked off of Georgia and then went to Alabama?
Yeah, so it was a big controversy, but they were like, you know, Saban did the he needs second chance, yada, yada, yada. Yeah. It's like he's 6'6 and can fucking block anybody type thing. But it wasn't like he needs a second chance. It's like he's good is what it was. But anyway, he just got arrested again for the same stuff. Like, this happened about a week ago.
Yeah.
So they kicked him out of the school immediately. And the girl came back today, like literally this morning, April 1st, for people listening a little bit ahead of time. And it wasn't an April Fool's joint either. She said that she lied about everything. And now, so she's getting arrested and going to go to jail for the false accusations. And, but he's already kicked out. They said it's like next to impossible to get him to get him back into the school.
Yeah.
But they also, like, the police report, like, has a lot of stuff where you're like, something happened.
Yeah.
Like, there's punched holes in the walls and he's got big hands. So you kind of know if it's him or not that's doing it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, it was crazy. I just read about that today. It's nuts. So
it's one of those things, man. Where there's smoke, there's fire, usually with most of you guys.
Oh, it's the Cosby thing. It's like, okay. And then you're like, oh, whoa, there's like 30 of you? Okay. Yeah. All right. Maybe we'll talk about this now.
Four of you guys? Okay. Let's look into this a little bit.
Yeah. It's like Tiger Woods the same way. It's like anybody like that. I know I keep naming black people. I'll come up with a white person at some point.
That's right.
Robert Durst. There you go. There's my white person.
Yeah. He's another one.
Yeah. Yeah, his son was a great singer for Limp Bizkit, so, you know, what can we say? The joke has been done too many times. What was I going to say? Did you see, and we'll go off of sports here for a second for all the people that have checked out. Did you see Steph Curry last night cross up Chris Paul?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's the second time he crossed him up like that, too.
I mean, Chris Paul's been in the league for about, what, 6-7 years?
At least, yeah, yeah. He came in, like, the year of Darren Williams. And
he's not exactly a young puppy. Plus, it was the cross-up was good, but he did kind of fall.
He stepped on his foot.
Chris Paul kind of stepped on his foot a little bit, yeah.
But it was a little
more dramatic than it looked like.
But when Steph does it, you're like, all right, well, it's kind of awesome when he does it. Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. I love... He's like a classic example. I even put Adrian Peterson in this category to an extent, although it's not as prevalent with Adrian Peterson. But, you know, like Steph went to Davidson. They made a big run in the NCAA. But it was still like he went to Davidson. He didn't play competition, yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
And he ends up like in the teens for a draft pick. He's literally the MVP of the league this year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He never was so-so. He was just like awesome from day one.
He walked in and took over the gym from day one. That's the thing that the kid could just shoot. And it's like he said though. His dad taught them to shoot correctly from day one. So, I mean, he was just not recruited because he was little. So, I mean, that's why it gets on my nerves when these coaches are like they think they're like end all be all for these recruiting things. I mean, they're just half of them are wrong.
Yeah, yeah. The draft is the one that kills me, too. And the reason I brought up AP, and there's other people that have been like that, like Randy Moss. I mean, Randy Moss had the whatever issues.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But like, some of these guys, you're just like, I know you don't need a running back, but he was, like, the sixth pick in the draft.
Yeah,
and he
yeah.
was, like, runner-up yeah. for the Heisman as a freshman. I understand he got hurt, but, like, are you fucking serious? Like, it'd be like, what's his name from Clemson last year that went to the Bills? Like
Sammy
Watkins, or even the guy who got Rookie of the Year there from the Giants. I can't believe I can't think of his name.
Odell Beckham.
Yeah, like when it comes down to it, like are you really that good at wide receiver? Like the 28 teams that passed on him or whatever it was, you know? Like
are you really that solid?
Yeah,
to not take a flyer on this dude who is already like a monster. It makes no sense.
It was even like LeSean was like, you know, early second round pick. And I was just kind of like, I understand you might not need a running back, but first off, they last like 2 to 3 years anyway.
Yeah.
And second off, like, how do you not see, like, I don't care what you need. Like, you pick somebody up in free agency or whatever. But
not only that, you're so wrong on so many other ones.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you just take a chance on somebody? Because, I mean, they're so hit or miss on every other. Every other player. I mean, if you go back, I think Mel Kiper probably has better records than most GMs in the
league. Even like Julio Jones, you're like, and the Falcons traded the house for him. By the way, kind of working out for him. Yes, they need help with a lot of other positions, but he's all right. I think he's worth the pick. You know, it's like so many. I don't understand why people avoid like a skill position or something like that just because you have it like somewhat covered. It's like these guys are studs. Like even Gronk, you're like. He went, you know, in like the 20s, and you're like, he's like so good. Like, how did nobody watch him?
You look at it, you're like, all right, yeah, we're solid here, but this kid was head and shoulders above the talent that was in his class this year. So, are we really solid with a guy who was that much better than who when he came in with, or do we take a flyer on a guy who might be 10 times better than that guy? And apparently, they just don't think. Necessary. So,
yeah, like on the subject of gay marriage, Vernon Davis was like, he was like the ninth pick in the draft. And he like came out early out of Maryland. He like, I snuck the gay joke in there.
Yeah. Go Maryland.
Yeah. If it fists like a duck, then it.
Yeah, yeah. If you ever saw the E60 or E30, whatever, on him and how he loves his, he does art and stuff.
Oh, yeah. He was in I'm pretty sure he was in a movie. I'm almost positive. It was a movie called
Giant. Yeah, it was a bad, it's like, if you Google it, man, it's a terror. He plays like an action hero.
Oh, that's not the one I'm thinking of. He must have done multiple movies then. He did one with Patton Oswalt. It's actually good. It's like an indie movie about like an obsessed fan. It's called Giant Fan.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's
Giant Fan.
Giant fan, yeah.
It's a play on words because he's a Giants fan, bro.
Yeah.
But I love the movie. It's a little slow going. It's weird at times, but like he played, I think, a star linebacker in it, and he beats the shit out of Patton Oswalt, and then Patton like lets him go because he's such a big fan of the team and all this other stuff. But anyway, yeah. So I don't know where I was going with that. So let's talk about, we'll talk about Trevor Noah, and then we're going to talk about Indiana, and then we're going to wrap things up. And we're going to close out with a little bit of Trevor's stand-up and a little bit of, we'll do some Jay Oakerson stand-up too, because he's freaking hilarious. And take it from there. So Trevor Noah.
Yeah.
Why didn't they give it to you is the better question.
I'm a little, because I'm not from South Africa.
Yeah, I mean, he's half.
Yeah, I think at this point you have to be a foreigner to get any TV job.
James Corden, John Oliver.
Corden is terrible, by the way.
Is he? I mean, I saw the Tom Hanks thing just because everybody was talking about it, but yeah, I believe it.
He's terrible. I mean, he's not someone who, if you were sitting around and you were like, who could we come up with? And everyone had to be in consensus.
Yeah.
That's not him. He's not the guy to go with. I mean,
you know what that means? Jay likes him. I'm calling it.
Yeah.
We'll have to find out next podcast if he's listening. Yeah. If he's listening, email us, Jay.
Yeah. Let us know. Yeah. It's, I mean, he's, yeah. But, I mean, that's about where it all is going now. I mean, right now they should have just convinced, John Oliver to come back. I don't care how much money they should have thrown him, but not for John Oliver, like not for the Daily Show, but for Letterman's show, because this dude is not gonna last.
Who's that? You talking about James Corden?
Corden.
Oh yeah, yeah. The reason Ferguson like left is they just treated him like they didn't even like give him a shot at taking Letterman's job, and he was just kind of like, all right, I'm done with it. I go sell out theaters doing stand up, which I like doing better anyway.
Well, I'm gonna stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning every night.
Yeah,
I can just sell out.
Get these
theaters.
B-list guests.
Yeah, exactly.
Craig Kilborn's old studio.
Just coming from the club, so he decides to come on in.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Right, exactly. It was like the first year when Jimmy Kimmel was on, and like he'd just have like Jeff Ross and Jay Moore and Adam Carolla on. They'd be promoting nothing. They'd just be like they're drinking
there,
and stuff. Yeah. Freaking hilarious. I was actually hoping that it was going to be Trevor. I just didn't think he had a chance because he's only done two things with The Daily Show before.
Yeah.
But he's super smart. Kind of hates America, which is perfect for that.
He's hilarious. I've seen his stand-up. He's definitely hilarious. So,
but I don't think there was a right choice. I think that was the closest they could do. I mean, John Oliver obviously would have been the right choice if he was still around, or if Colbert was still around. You know, he could just switch characters and be liberal or whatever.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But there's no winning with that. I mean, they were talking about like Samantha Bee and all these other people, and it's like, yeah, no. No, there's like no, Trevor's like polished as shit, you know. It's just a matter of whether he can do that job. But there's no question in my mind he can read funny news, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why they came up with it, you know, making a big deal about the whole joke that he had. I mean, the jokes are 64 years old. I mean,
yeah. And they're just stupid. Yeah. I did like the South Africans don't litter like Israel keeps peace or whatever it was.
Yeah.
The problem is like A, John Stewart was Jewish, so he obviously had that following, and B, you know, let's call it what it is. Industry people are who they are, and that's just the way it is. But so yeah, I don't know. I was actually pretty happy. I still think that it's tough to pull off. It's just not like you're following Jon Stewart, and B, you know, it's the bar's been set high. Like Oliver's killing it, and he's only doing it once a week. And
exactly.
You know, it might just be time to retire the franchise. The problem is Comedy Central has no hope if they retire that franchise. You know?
Yeah, they're not going to because there's too much money in it.
It's the only show The Daily Show and South Park are the only ones that actually make profit.
Even
Tosh.0 doesn't make money for them.
Yeah, I don't even know how it's still on. Tosh.0 is just, it's a bunch of throw-up videos and...
Yeah, it's America's Funniest Home Videos, but with gross shit.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the stuff that America's Funniest Home Videos can't show.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, well, we will.
It's got a hardcore following. And to be perfectly frank, anytime I turn it on, I laugh my ass off. But it's always, like, random. Like, I'm just like, oh, it's on, all right. Yep, there goes somebody, like, you know, whacking their nuts on a wiffle ball bat. All right, cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, moving on. I did love when... SportsCenter, this is a while ago now, but SportsCenter clearly ripped off Tosh.0's
Robert. The sports science thing.
Yeah, that was freaking great. And then I like the, at the end, he kind of said, by the way, I like Mike and Mike and some two other shows or something like that. Yeah. Don't take it personally. what else is there? Indiana doesn't like gay people. That's right.
I forgot about that.
Did you feel discriminated against when you guys were doing your wedding? Were they like, we will not put a white and black person on top of a wedding cake?
Well, no, actually, you'll be surprised what's on top of the cake. It's a big bowl of awesome.
Nice. So, just a bowl of awesome.
Yep, big bowl of awesome. You'll love it.
That's what she said.
we didn't do anything too crazy. Nice. We were, actually, you know, what's crazy is that the guy's like, the guy who owns the place is like this, like, hardcore German, like, his like, straight Hitler accent. And, but he's nice as could be, dude. Like,
nice.
Even when he talk, even when he's saying nice things, he's still like saying mean things. We're like, you know, our wedding date's April 11th. That's a good date.
Oh, wow. The cake will be beautiful.
Springtime is beautiful. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, stop doing that. But yeah, he's it's a good place, man.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
I'm just ready to get it over with.
Yeah, yeah. So for those of you at home that don't know, Shelton's getting married next weekend. So.
Boom.
Before we have our next, are you guys doing any sort of honeymoon action?
We're doing a honeymoon in late June. We're doing Belize.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Belize is awesome. That's where me and my wife have been talking about moving to forever.
Yeah?
Yeah, it won't really happen, but we've talked about it.
Leave the kids with the grandparents?
No, they'd come with us.
Yeah.
There's so many expats there. They totally have schools and everything's private schools set up, you know, all whitey schools, so to speak.
Yeah, it's not expensive at all either to go there.
No, yeah, that's why she went just like with a friend, like they had no plans. They were just kind of like, all right, let's just do it type thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, there's like a whole like towns and villages that are like expats that are totally safe and protected. You're probably going in that area anyway if you're on vacation.
She ruined my plans. I'd never planned on getting married. I planned when Preston turned 18, I would just move away, go bartend at some island like Belize or something.
Like cocktail style?
Yeah, man. Just
you know what? There's a guy who invented this umbrella straw or umbrella for the drink.
Yep.
He's a billionaire now.
Yeah. Just tell that story over and over.
Some old guy starts making out with your girl and you punch him for no reason.
Exactly. Way it goes, bro.
Speaking of the way it goes, bro, did you see the previews for Fury 7?
Oh, God. Yeah, I've seen them.
Yeah.
I don't think I've watched a single one of those movies except for number 2. Yeah. I don't know why I watched number 2 and not 1. But I've never watched
anymore. I watched one because it was like 2001 or whatever. I was living in Vermont. My roommate was like that. Like it was a girl. I wasn't like dating her or anything like that. But she wasn't like that. She was just into cars like that. She actually was the opposite of those type of people. But she had, you know, like a VW that was, you know, souped up or whatever. But I watched it and it was such an uncomfortable drive home because she liked it so much and I just did not know what to say.
And you wanted to just rip it apart, but you can't because...
What's crazy is everybody I know that sees it, they, like, hate watch it. But everybody I know that does, they say it keeps getting better. Like, the storyline's actually getting way better. It's this, you know, usually it's the exact opposite.
They're like, oh, come on, really? Oh, come on. And you're just watching, like, oh, man. But, yeah, I can't watch anything in that front. Now they got The Rock in there. It's got to be even worse.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's the closer. It's going to win Best Picture, according to Vin Diesel.
Yeah, he's on a straight cash hunt right now.
Yeah, I don't have friends. I only have family.
WWE makes guest appearances.
Yeah,
he's doing this movie. He's like, I got about 4 more years shelf life before I become Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of which, he's in a zombie movie. It looks good.
Yeah, him and his daughter.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. I mean, I don't know if it's actually gonna be good, but the preview looks great.
Nah, I don't know. Anything with him in there is never.
Rick. Yeah, it's just not your. It doesn't seem like it's your traditional kind of zombie movie. It's a little bit more like, he tries to kind of like save her and stuff like that. But yeah, no, it looks like, it just looks like it's well done from like a videography standpoint.
Yeah. I watched the trailer for that new Genesis. What is it? Terminator Genesis.
Oh, gross.
I'm like, yeah, that's
yeah.
Not a terrible idea.
Yeah, what was the one I saw? Mad Max. I saw the preview for that. I mean, I don't know. I don't remember the first one good well enough to really understand.
Yeah, I can't remember the first one, but I don't think it was really a cinematic masterpiece you need to remake.
Yeah, all I heard was just, you know, some guy being anti-Semitic in it. That's all I remember.
Sugar tits.
You make me want to smoke.
They're just so out of touch with what can be done anymore. They're just like, you know what, fuck it. We'll rehash everything from the 80s because everyone loves it.
It's so weird because it's such a do-or-die type mentality, too, because, like, a lot of them hit.
Yeah.
You know? Like, Furious 7 will break every box office record this weekend.
Yeah.
Which is comical because it's horrible.
If you would have told me they would have remade 21 Jump Street as a comedy, the guy would have never... I was like, yeah, it's going to flop. But no, they got two movies out of it.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's crazy. There's so many like that that are like, you're like, oh my god, really? Oh, like Star Trek's coming back,
yeah,
and for a third one. And
the Furious situation, there's that whole genre of people who are just car crazy.
Yeah,
who just love watching that crap, and it's as long as they have the cars in there, it doesn't matter if Ludacris is trying to act or
Lil Bow Wow's trying to do Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, yeah. Or Michelle Rodriguez is trying to munch on Ronda Rousey. It's all the same.
Yeah.
Come over here.
Dude, she went to jail for like a month, Michelle Rodriguez.
Yeah.
All right. We'll wrap things up on that note with our Fast and Furious 7. Oh, just Furious 7. There's one scene where Paul Walker's like, that's fast. And it's like in the previews. It's like, oh my God, seriously. Just let the guy die.
The worst part about it is like they throw it right in your face. This is the seventh one of these movies, and you're still going to come see it.
Yeah, yeah. They're not even like pulling a, like, you know, Angels and Demons and Da Vinci Code type thing. You know, it's just kind of like...
Smash them through a 7.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Small title.
They were like sneaky for the first few, like Too Fast, Too Furious and stuff that. But then they just hit a point where like, you know, people are coming. We don't have to call it Tokyo Drift. People are going like, anyway.
$300 million, we're good to go. Just keep calling it the numbers and we'll keep seeing what they throw at us.
All right, we're going to wrap things up. We want to, first and foremost, pre-congratulate Shelton on his nuptials. Next time we talk to him, he will be a married man.
I will.
To a white woman. I can't believe they're allowing it. Must be a Delaware thing.
2015.
Yeah, not in Indiana. They'd be like, nope, nope, nope.
Yeah.
We don't allow your kind. By the way, great story. You'll appreciate it since it involves Delaware a little bit. You know, Michelle Bachmann's her husband's always kind of been the gay card.
Yeah, oh yeah, that dude's gay as can be.
Gay as a picnic, as they say.
Yeah.
So he went to, and they were like, there was some big meeting. Oh, you know what it was? Michelle was actually going to help promote Mike Pence and all, and what he's doing or something like that. I think there's a bunch of GOP people that went out there to help say, yeah, we support it and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So her husband's notorious for like picking out her outfits and doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
So he goes to a store, like a higher end boutique, and apparently he's super snooty and like really bitchy with the lady, but he's like picking stuff out for her, and he's like, my wife won't like this and blah, blah, blah. So she like, smells out the gay, so to speak, this old lady that owns the place, and she kicks him out because of that Religious Freedom Act.
Wow. No, I gotta read that.
And it was like literally somebody's wife was going to support that act, and he was like, wait.
I mean,
and he even said, like, wait, this is what you can do with this thing? Like,
it's crazy because you are talking about the Bible Belt, and then when you bring that kind of stuff up, they're just changing the law from, like, you know, church and state to whatever they want. And it's like, wow, okay, so we can't discriminate if you're gay, but now you can call it religious freedom.
And yeah.
It's the same thing.
And, like, Clinton mandated or made it a federal law in 93, and, like, a bunch of other states do it, but they all have that little amendment saying, like, it cannot include the LGBT community for a reason, you know? And Mike Pence or whatever the guy's name is, his whole thing is just, like, what did he say? It's just like he kind of pulled the slippery slope thing about that. Like, well, you can't start adding amendments because then, you know, it's the same thing as like, we'll start marrying dogs, you know? And you're like, what?
Yeah, and that's the thing is like now that's one way where it's like the color preference law that comes in. You don't have to serve them, but if you have a color preference, you can choose not to serve somebody. Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty racist, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's like there's so many different ways they're trying to hide. Like just being a straight douche,
yeah.
That they put him in the law. It's you're breaking down so many laws to be nothing that eventually it's just going to be like a dystopian society where you can't do anything at all unless you're like a Christian right wing crazy nutbag with a gun.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
What do you want to do? I'll try that.
All right. Well, I guess I'm not taking any more vacations to Indiana. They're banned. My annual trip to see Purdue University is done.
Yeah, what's really up? I mean, and they're risking like the combine coming there.
And the NCAA is like they're based out of there.
Yeah, and Salesforce, and not to get over random Delaware, but I'm like, how stupid is Markell, the governor of Delaware, for not going after those markets? I mean, you know that these people, like Salesforce, Apple, saying they won't do stuff.
Yeah.
NCAA, why wouldn't you? We're already, we just signed the first ordained lesbian minister.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you push that as a business agenda? Hey, we're completely open and liberal, and we're right here on the East Coast, and we're cheaper than Philadelphia, New York, or D.C.
And it's super easy to sue people or get sued in our states.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can sue everybody. We're the capital of suing everyone.
Exactly. And we got Biden. I mean, come on.
Exactly.
Biden and Bachman. That should be a presidential run.
The dirtiest beaches you'll ever see.
All right, we're going to wrap things up. I want to thank Big J Okerson. We're going to play a little bit of a stand-up next, then we're going to play some of Trevor Noah's stand-up, then we're going to close out with some random music. We want to thank everybody for calling in, Big J Okerson. We want to thank Decibel Wines for being an awesome, awesome sponsor of ours. Decibel Dan is the man. I think he might even be winning our Comedy Food Sports March Madness, which I didn't mention because I got my ass handed to me.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you bet on a very... Oh, by the way, somebody would win a million... Somebody put 20 grand on Michigan State like two months ago. Crazy. Anyway, apparently the dude's just like stupid rich and he just does it like once a week. He just goes over to the Golden Nugget and says, all right, I'm going to bet a stupid amount of money on somebody. So he's probably down still after he wins this, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, they're not being Duke. Okay, I hate to say it, but...
It's a decent comeback.
Yeah. Great coaching, by the way, in the Final Four. Like, from a straight-up X's and O's type thing.
Yeah.
I'm lukewarm on the Wisconsin guy, but, I mean, Calipari, Krzyzewski, and Izzo, it's like, you know, first ballot Hall of Famers.
I think with Bo Ryan, he gives you basic basketball, and that's it. He's a fundamental kind of guy. His players are disciplined. I'll give him that.
Yeah. It's no knock on him. He's just like the other three guys are, you know.
These guys are the ones who can break down your game plan and then use against you at the end of the first quarter. But I mean, he's more of a we're going to play solid, consistent basketball and we're going to go from there. Actually, one of my friends was telling me the stat last week that if Wisconsin's leading with 5 minutes left in the game, they're 133-2 to win it.
Wow.
So, you know, I mean, that's what it is, fundamentals, you know what I mean? Like, they don't get flustered at the end, and they pull out the win.
Nice. Well, I get, I'm in this ride-or-die pool type thing, so as long as they beat the spread, I get to keep whoever wins.
And
it's a six-point spread, give or take. So as long as they only lose by, like, three or whatever, I get to keep Kentucky into the finals, so... I had Oregon originally, and Wisconsin didn't beat the spread against Oregon, but they beat the spread against everybody else.
Yeah,
so I got to keep Wisconsin rolling through it. So I actually have a decent shot at winning it all.
I think if they can play sound defense and get the turnovers, then they can beat Kentucky. But
they just got to stay out of foul trouble because they're just not deep. They got like six or seven guys that can play, and that's it. But.
Yep.
Cool. All right, we'll wrap things up. I'll probably talk to you. Next time I'll talk to you, we'll be in wonderful Clayton, Delaware.
Yeah, it's the greatest place ever.
Rocking it out. I didn't realize it was that close. Like, we had an overnight babysitter and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, we totally could have drove home. It's like 25 minutes from my place.
Yeah, but then if you drink and stuff, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, no. We're treating it as like a night out. But initially,
you get a night out. You got dinner, you get
drinks. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. We're not going to be slacking, don't worry.
Yeah.
Be bringing our A game. Doing some YMCA and all that stuff on the floor.
Sweet.
All right, man. Well, we will see in a couple, see in like 10 days. Good luck. Good luck. All right, man.
All right.
Later.
Mr. Big J. Ogerson, everybody. This is actually going to be fun, because this is a story of real friendship. Real, genuine, bonded friendship. This story happened about 5 years ago, and it was, I live in New York, and I remember this story happened. It was 2:30 in the morning on a Monday night. I never forget that. And my buddy Dave was at my house. He was crashing for the night. We had just smoked weed and had an hour-long conversation about how Africa by Toto might be the greatest song ever made. Yeah, it's hard to argue. After that, a couple of high fives and re-listens. We're like, let's call it a night, dude. Let's go to bed. Just then we get a phone call from our friend Lewis, our Puerto Rican friend who lives around the corner. And he goes, hey, guys, come over here and look through my window. I'm getting ready to fuck this Asian chick. It's going to be awesome. And it's 2:30 in the morning on a Monday, and I'm just like, dude, we'll be there in 5 minutes, like 100%. It's around the corner from my house, a baseball's throw, tops. Like, I have to go. I'll beat myself up if I don't at least check it out, take a peek. So me and Dave walk over, and we're watching Lewis bang this Asian chick. And it's a thing. We're watching. And he knows we're watching, but she doesn't know, which is kind of shitty, but at the same time, hilarious, because Lewis, for us, is, like, flexing and posing, and we're doing air high fives and, like, metal horns. It's like we're air guitaring. Just a lot of white guy lip-biting fun. Like, Normal, right? Here's where it gets weird. At one point, this Asian girl, she's on all fours. Her ass is facing the window, me and Dave. She's sucking Lewis's dick. He's on his knees. He's looking at us. We're looking at him. We're all giggling. Now, Lewis, our Puerto Rican friend, is the proud owner of a small dog, Jack Russell Terrier. And before you guys even get weird, I want you to understand, this is going exactly where you think it's going. On my life, true story, out of the blue, dog jumps up on the bed from behind, starts licking her Asian vagina. Yeah. Eating her pussy. I know. Don't feel forced to laugh at that. I'm just telling you the facts of what happened. It's not a punchline. I'm not expecting your laughter. I'm just telling you what happened. Me and Dave were hanging out. Lewis called, said, come watch me fuck this Asian chick. We go there. Circumstantially, she's in a position. Dog jumps up, starts eating her pussy. I've told this story in several countries all over the world to everyone. No one really laughs from the gut on that. That's not a funny situation. When everyone hears that story, pretty much anyone, all types of people think the same exact thing. A dog eating an Asian, the irony alone is fucking mind-blowing. Did I just see that living, breathing pun unfold in front of my fat fucking face? I did. A dog was eating an Asian girl's pussy. Yeah. How do you handle that situation, ladies? What do you do? Go ahead. We'll throw it around the horn. What do you do? I'll paint the picture for you. You're on all fours. You're blowing a dude. Dog starts eating your cooch. What do you do? Don't even overthink it. It's wartime. You got to react. It's happening. You keep going. Keep sucking dick. Let the dog eat your pussy. Fuck, if you don't have a husband, I'll marry you right now. Oh, my God. I love a girl who lost her parents young. Well, I don't know if you studied Eastern philosophy in school, but that's exactly what that Asian girl did. She just let it happen. She didn't make it a weird thing at all. Like an adult, she handled it. She didn't even look back and go, oh, it's a dog, and keep going. She just assumed it was a dog and kept sucking dick. That is ninja focus like I've never seen before or since. And I'm not just saying ninja because she's Asian, but it does make it funnier exponentially. And she knew it was a dog. She definitely knew. It wasn't Lewis. His neck isn't 14 feet long and shaped like a C. And ladies, if I'm being honest, I think you just know when a dog's eating your pussy. There's a lot of giveaways. If you let it happen, you know what's happening. A lot of giveaways. Wet nose up your ass. There's a big one. You feel that within seconds. You're like, that feels great. That's a dog. I have to go. I have to go right now. And the dog ate her pussy for the better part of 5 to 6.5 minutes. And then he just stopped. Out of the blue. He just stopped. I don't know if he was done or he found what he was looking for. But he tapped out. And he wiped his little dog chin. And he looks over at the window. And he sees me and Dave. Because now, in fairness, me and Dave are like this up against the window. Because we just saw our Puerto Rican friend and his dog gangbang an Asian chick. And guess what? You don't see that every day. Rarely, if ever. An interracial, interspecies gangbang? Good luck. Go Google that when you get home. See how many clips you find. There's none. There's none out there. I've checked every day since. It's been 5 years. And the dog sees me and Dave, and he knows us. That's sport. We know sport. Sport gets so excited, he runs over to the window. He starts jumping and barking at the window. And now me and Dave don't want to get caught. Remember, this girl has no idea we're there. So now me and Dave are outside posing like trees and statues and shit, trying to blend into the nighttime background. But I felt really bad. I really did. And I can't speak for Dave or Lewis or anybody else in that story. I felt bad because where I was hiding, I could see Sport's face, the dog. And the dog, a real personality on his face, really showed me confusion. His face showed dog confusion. And it made me sad. I connected with him. We became one for a moment, and I felt his pain. And he proved that day that dogs are man's best friend. That's all Sport was doing. He's trying to be our friend. You see, dogs don't share our sense of, like, we're caught or embarrassment or something bad's going to happen. He's just trying to be our friend. Sport's at the window like, hey, Jay, Dave, what are you guys doing out there? This chick's fucking everybody, man. Get in here. I'm a dog. I just ate her pussy. Did you not see that shit? It's like, suit yourself, homo. And they just dance back inside. Thank you guys, man, very much. Hey, yo, I send it to all of my corporate corpses, trying to abort the thoughts of coming out wildin', dumbing out time to off the office. I was surely sort of twisted, worked at a TV studio and audio assistant. Easy, do my duty, though at times was in a mean mood. How'd I gotta be cool? I was on the brink of fiends, drool, glaring at the green room. Made a brother the same color, but beyond neon. Pushing me to be on, bonking the dreams to be gone. Tending to the talent, and many they haven't any. Was especially a challenge when he be like, God damn it, can he hear his vocal? As he cuffing it, how my mic sound? Thinking on the lowest perfect when he put the mic down. Clown stand steady, really wanting subservience. Sound man burying, thinking I'd fucking murder them. And steaming as I'm watching through, leaving on some hot pursuit. Gotta win, as these cats be modeling what not to do. Get away, cow, get away, cow, get away, cow, 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 cow. Get away, cow, get away, cow, get away, cow, 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 cow. 6 in the morning and the walls closing. High noon calls and the walls on him. Kings at the ready, now the walls won't win, 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 win. Storms on the harbor like a harbinger for gore. Gore's my harbinger, part of the art of war. Get your doors darkened by the house of card carpenters who never thought a slave could be a Spartacus in war. Pencil sharpener with a resume for the carnivores. You take important conference calls and corner all the walls. Still a buck is a buck and he punch numbers. 5 punch, just say no to company functions. And he duck into the dungeons. Nothing says kill it like a day of fetching paperclips and staplers for the privilege. 2 lives, 1 is short for whores. 1 is where I wanna be when you begin regretting yours. And I poured him with a large coffee tardy every morning to a man who took authority beyond what it was for. How you gonna pay the rent, day job free? Make rap records, matter of fact, bang. Hit the weak, 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 hit the weak. 6 in the morning and the walls closing. High noon calls and the walls on him. Kings at the ready, not the walls won't win, 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 win.
In a hospital gown, they often being tied down in recreation. Swinging a paddle at mental patients. Raping the competition to smother the pain and sin. So we pound you out in table tennis like Wang Lekin. 2 strains within just to stop the minute. Interaction, sleeping, thoughts documented. He's lingering in same pain, thinner in his vein. Colors blown out around a doctor's finger in his brain. With a needle enabled to beat him in a fetal position. He crafted a path to escape his condition. Would cling to the white walls, the sight calls in his mind. Soon bled the words he would speak to the world in time. But not before more injections strapped to the bed. To the psychotropics, the cold to the wrap in his head. When his wrist
his release. Roll Coon is the Snoop Dogg. Day of release. Said depart from me, I never knew you.
Get that wake up. 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 Get that wake up.